you will be turning to Isaiah 55. Some are going to be real happy. I heard our air conditioner is broke, so it won't be as cold as it normally is in here, but I'm going to be hot, so I'm going to take my jacket off. Isaiah 55. This whole chapter is concerning the Word of God. And in verse 4, speaking of Christ, he says, "Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people." He's the prophet. He teaches his people. He says, "And a leader." He leads his people. He said, "And a commander." He commands his people. This is Christ. This is what he does. "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not." They appear like he doesn't know them. They act like he don't know them. But they're the elect of God. "Nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God." That's the people in those nations. "For the Holy One of Israel." That's why they're going to do it. "For he hath glorified thee." Now here's what he says to us. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near." Has he made you thirsty? That means, has he given you a willingness? Has he given you a hunger, a desire for Christ? He says, then call upon him. Right now, while he's near, call upon him. Now look at this. He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Now, whenever the Lord blesses this word to our heart, and he draws us to Christ, brings us to believe on Christ, all things become new for the believer. Old things pass away, and all things become new for the believer. The first thing about this newness of life is we're delivered. We're delivered. We have freedom that we didn't have before. We were delivered. Look at verse 12. "You shall go out with joy." You shall go out with joy. Now you just imagine being taken captive. Imagine a foreign army comes in and they take us captive in this country, like the Germans did the Jews, or like a enemy nation that comes in. They just take you captive. Now you don't have any freedom. You're bound. You can't do anything but what your captors allow you to do. You're in bondage. That was the case with the children of Israel. They sinned against God, and God justly turned them over to Babylon. And Babylon took them in bondage and took them captive. And they were slaves in Babylon. Well, brethren, that's the case with every sinner. We sinned in Adam. And because we sinned in Adam, God justly turned us over to spiritual Babylon, to that which is false, to that which is corrupt, so that a believer comes into this world, we're bound under the curse of the law of God. We're bound under the devil's bondage. We're bound by our sin nature. We can only do what our sin nature allows us to do. And we're under the bondage of death. And there's no way, no possible way for you and I to free ourselves from this bondage. We just can't do it. Now, for the children of Israel, you know what he did? He sent a redeemer. He sent a man named Cyrus. He was from another nation altogether. Christ is from another nation altogether. He's from another place altogether, from heaven's glory. And he's the redeemer. And just like Cyrus came forth and defeated Babylon and delivered Israel, redeemed them out of bondage. That's what Christ has done for His people. He's redeemed us out of bondage. So that now concerning the curse of the law, the Scripture says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He took the place of all His people. And He bore the curse. And when He did that, He freed His people. He redeemed His people from the curse of the law. Concerning the devil's bondage that we were born under. Hebrews 2:14 says, For as much then as the children were flesh and blood, He likewise took part of the same, that through death He might deliver us. Through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And then concerning our bondage to our sin nature, we read there where He said He's going to be the one that's glorified. And they're going to run to Him because He's glorified. God's glorified Christ. He raised Him from the dead. And He gave Christ the glory of being the leader and the commander and the witness to His people. He gave Him that glory. And so the gospel you hear now, you know why this gospel is here now and why you're here now? It's here because Christ has sent it to you and brought you here to hear it right now at this hour. I guarantee you that's the case. And one of two things is going to happen. This word never returns to Him void. Either He's going to speak into your heart and save you by this word, or it's going to be a witness against you in the day of judgment because you would not believe on the Lord Jesus. One of the two. In days before the modern communication, whenever a war ended, just like this between Babylon and Israel, whenever Cyrus delivered them out, you know how he made it known to Israel? They sent heralds throughout Babylon and throughout Israel crying and declaring, the war's over. It's accomplished. You've been redeemed. You can go. You can go back to Israel now. You can return to Zion now. You can go to the heavenly city now. That's what the gospel is. It's Christ, our King, sending forth the herald with the message, your warfare is accomplished. The Lord has pardoned your iniquity. He's rewarded His people double for all our sins. That's the message we go forth and we preach. And the reason the Word doesn't return void is this. Christ enters the heart by the Holy Spirit. When He enters the heart by the Holy Spirit, now we have life. And when we have life in us, now we begin to hear. And we begin to become thirsty. And we begin to have a willingness and a desire to come to Christ. And it's said there that Christ is the commander of His people. This Word never returns to God void because Christ enters the heart. And He says to the prisoners, you that were in bondage, He speaks this word in the heart and He says, go forth. Go forth. He says to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. That's what He says. And we're scared to come out of the darkness. We're scared to come out because our thoughts are, when we see our sin, we think, as sinful as I am, God's not going to receive me. As sinful as I am, the Lord won't have mercy on me. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Return to the Lord. He will have mercy on you. And so Christ speaks into your heart. Who's going to get the glory for making you finally come to Him? He is. He speaks into your heart what He said in Isaiah 43:1. He says, fear not, for I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He speaks this to our heart. And He says to you, I can sit here and cry and tell you the warfare is accomplished. I don't know who it's accomplished for. But when Christ speaks into your heart, He says, your warfare is accomplished. He tells His messengers in Isaiah 40, you go forth and you declare her warfare is accomplished. See, I can't come forth and say, God loves you and He's redeemed you because I don't know who He has and who He has not. I'm sent to declare her warfare is accomplished. That is, His bride, all His elect people, her warfare is accomplished. But when He speaks in your heart, He makes it personal. He says, your warfare is accomplished. I've pardoned your iniquity. I've rewarded you for your sins. And then you begin to believe God. Then you go out with joy. That's what our text said. They shall go out with joy. It's not an if or maybe. They shall. And you go out with joy. That means you have liberty. You leave the curse of the law. You're free from Satan's bondage. You're delivered from the dominion of your old sin nature. From the dominion of it, not from the presence of it. It's still there. But you're delivered from the dominion of it. And in the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Because He's given us eternal life. That's why Christ said, He spoke to some men one day and He said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And see, a sinner who hasn't been spoken to in his heart by Christ, he can't hear that. Because he don't think he's a real sinner. He don't really think he's a sinner. Oh, he's messed up a few times. But he don't know what a sinner is. He don't know what a real sinner is. And those men that Christ said that to, they said, now, wait a minute. What are you talking about? We'll be free indeed. We've never been in bondage. They were dead. They couldn't hear Him. They couldn't hear Him. But when He speaks, He makes you free indeed. And He says you'll go out with joy. This joy is you're delivered. This joy is you're redeemed. This joy is you're set free. Listen to the Scripture. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We're reconciled to God. We're reconciled to God. And He keeps on filling you with this. Paul prayed at the end of Romans that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. How so? In believing. In beholding Christ Jesus, our peace and our joy, in believing on Him. Why? That you may abound in hope. In hope. What are we hoping for? We're hoping for His return. We're hoping for being made completely, thoroughly righteous to lay down this sin nature and be conformed to His image. And we're hoping to one day arrive in that heavenly city that we're on our journey to right now. And He says, I'm going to fill you with all joy and all peace in believing so that you'll be filled with this hope. And this is through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how He does it. Have you heard Christ's voice? That's the question. I know you've heard my voice. You've been sitting here listening to me preach to you since you was little. Some of you. But have you heard Christ's voice? Have you heard Him speak? Has He made you really want to be God's elect child? Has He made you want to be God's choice, God's redeemed, God's born-again child? If He has, believe on Him. If He has, cast all your care on Him. If He has, confess Him publicly. How do I know, preacher? How do I know if He has? Only way I know to tell you, the way you'll know for sure is this. He said, he that believes will not be ashamed. He'll come out of the darkness. He'll come out of the cell. You just imagine if you went to a cell or a prison where somebody was in prison and you unlocked a jail cell and you said to them, you're redeemed. You can walk out of this prison. You're free. You're free. If that prisoner didn't know that person that was speaking to him, and he didn't have credibility, he didn't know if that person was credible or not, and he was a good prisoner that didn't want, I don't want to get in trouble with the warden. I don't want to get in trouble. He'd just stay in that cell. And I'm not sure I'm redeemed or not. But if you know that it's a credible person telling you, you are redeemed, you are free, you won't stay in that cell. And when Christ speaks, you know it's a credible witness speaking in your heart, and you won't stay in the cell. He that believes will not be ashamed. The Lord said, the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and they'll come with singing unto Zion. They'll come. They'll come to Christ. They'll return to the Lord, and they'll do so with joy in their heart. They shall. And everlasting joy be upon their head. And they'll obtain gladness and joy and sorrow, and mourning shall flee away. Now, that'll be the case if God's spoken to you. Here's the second thing. This newness of life is to now be under a new leader. Look at verse 12. The second part says, and you'll be led forth with peace. You'll be led forth with peace. Isn't that interesting? Here's what caught my attention about that. I'm going to be led with peace. I'm going to be led with peace. Isn't that an odd phrase? You're going to be led with peace. Who's this peace I'm going to be led with? He said there in Isaiah 55:5, speaking of Christ, he said, thou shalt call a nation and that knowest not thee, and nations shall run unto thee. Look back at verse 4. He says, I've given you for a witness to the people, a leader, and a commander to the people. First, he commands you to come out of the cell. And then, when you believe on him, he says, now I'm going to lead you from here all the way to heaven's end. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to lead you all the way. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the peace that leads us. We're going to be led with peace. That peace is the Lord our righteousness. Look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 6. In his days, this is speaking of Christ's days, Jeremiah 23:6. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. Judah represents the elect among the Jews and Israel represents the elect among the Gentiles. These two had separated from one another. Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called. The one that's going to do the leading. The Lord our righteousness. That's the Lord Jesus. Verse 7. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You see, that's what that cloud that led them out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness and led them to Canaan, that was Christ. That cloud was Christ. He led them then. But he says, when this day comes, they're not going to speak of that. That was a temporal deliverance. That was a temporal leading. That was a temporal promised land. We're coming to a spiritual promised land. We're being led spiritually. Look here. But the Lord liveth. This is what they're going to say. The Lord liveth. The Lord Jesus liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. That's Christ. He's going to lead his people from everywhere they are, from the north, south, east, and west, wherever he scattered them. He knows right where they are. He's going to go to them, call them out by his gospel, and he's going to lead them. From that day he calls you to faith, he's going to lead you from that day forward. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 11. We sing, he leads his dear children along. He's the shepherd. Christ is the shepherd, and his people are the sheep. And look at verse 11, Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. This is what Christ is doing through his gospel. Look at Isaiah 42. And look at verse 16. Look at this. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will, he says. I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. And I will lead them. I will lead them, he said, in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake. That's Christ speaking. Look at Isaiah 49:9. He's speaking of his people. Isaiah 49 and verse 9. He says in the second part there, once he's spoken to you and he's going to say to you, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. He says, they shall feed in the ways and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. That's what Christ is saying he's going to do. And that's what he's doing. Picture it in your mind. Israel came out of Babylon. And when they came out of Babylon, they started to Jerusalem. And they had a desert, a wilderness to go through to get there. And Christ led them there. He led them to that place. And He did it to show you and me, this is a picture of what I'm doing for my people spiritually. When He calls us, we got a wilderness to go through. It's called our life. Before we get to heavenly Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, we got a wilderness to go through. And we're blind by nature. We don't know the way. We hadn't been there before. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't. But I know who's going to lead me through tomorrow. Christ is. He's going to lead us. And how does He do it? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. He leads us by the Spirit of God. You not receive the spirit of bondage to fear. You receive the Spirit where you cry, Abba, Father. By the Spirit, we can call unto God. If we think we're getting lost, don't know the way or out of the way, we cry unto God, Lord, help me. He says, and I'm going to be right there leading you, not forsaking you. I'll be leading you. He leads us with His under shepherds. Right now, for you who know the Lord, I'm sitting here preaching the gospel. You know what Christ is doing? He's leading you in the way. He's leading you in the way. All His under shepherds do is declare Him and declare His word. And as this word goes forth, Christ leads us in the way. And believer, we're led forth with peace. Not only is Christ our peace, but we have peace with God. Listen to the scripture. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified, Christ having redeemed us, having done the whole work, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It means we're no longer enemies with God. It means we're righteous in Christ, we're holy in Christ, we're accepted of God in Christ. We have peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the third thing. Isn't this new? This is new when He calls you. Here's the newness of life. It's to behold Christ's glory. It's to behold His glory. Look at verse Isaiah 55:12. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now this is rejoicing all around. Whenever the Lord saves one of His own, Christ said this, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Can you imagine that? He describes the angels and the heavenly host as looking in on the church of God and beholding what Christ is doing to behold Christ's glory in calling out His people. And Christ said, I'm going to go forth into that wilderness like a shepherd. I'm going to find my lost sheep. I'm going to put it on my shoulder and I'm bringing that sheep back. And when I do, all of heaven's going to rejoice with me. Clap their hands and rejoice. And the preacher that's preaching rejoices. Nothing gives me greater joy than to see Christ call out somebody that He everlastingly loved. And all your brethren will rejoice. But not only that, brethren, when He calls you by His grace, you begin to see His glory all around you, in all God's creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I was marveling about this one day. I sat down and I was looking at Scripture, and I thought, I'm going to see if there's a metaphor or a simile of nature that I can't find in the Scriptures. And I went through everything I thought about, water, wind, clouds, everything I thought about. I could find a Scripture that gave Christ glory from it, every one of them. And brethren, it says here the hills are going to rejoice, and the mountains are going to rejoice, and the trees are going to clap their hands. When He saves you, you begin to see His glory everywhere. He made it all, and He made it for His glory. When you, like we saw Thursday night, or a few Thursdays ago in Psalm 19, it says the sun comes forth as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And a believer looks at that sun rising, coming out of like a bridegroom out of his chamber. And the believer thinks of Christ, the bridegroom. And His church is the bride. And we think of Christ. He's the one. And the Scripture says, and it rejoices as a strong man to run a race. And it says, and it goes forth from the end of the heaven and His circuit to the ends of it. And as you watch through the day and you see the sun go throughout the day, the believer thinks about Christ, who had a race set before him, and who for the joy that was set before him, his elect people, and glorifying God his Father, for that joy set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And now he's sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's what we see in nature. We see these things in nature. When you see the rain and the snow of winter, we're going into the fall now. We're going to have a lot of rain, a lot of snow. Springtime's going to come. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to see life spring forth. And buds come forth. And fruit come forth. And we think of this verse right here, Isaiah 55:10. As the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not till it's watered the earth and made it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. When you plant that little seed in your garden, you remember what Christ has done for us. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. There's just too many of them to name. The cloud, that cloud that led them in the wilderness, that cloud was Christ. The rainbow, you know where the rainbow was seen in Noah's day? In the cloud. You know what the rainbow was? It was a symbol of the covenant. Where's the everlasting covenant of grace? In Christ the cloud. The wind that blows where it listeth, and no man can see it or stop it or say unto it, what are you doing? That's the Holy Spirit, invincible grace, going where it will. All these things clap their hands now, and you see Christ's glory in it. Don't you feel sorry for an unbeliever? He goes through this life rejecting Christ. He goes through this life rejecting free justification in Christ Jesus, rejecting the gospel. And he misses out on all the things that the believer sees by God's grace. Sinner, believe. Don't miss out on this. Believe. Christ said, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. That's what he told Martha. If you believe on me, you'll see the glory of God. Believe on him, you'll see this glory. All right, here's the fourth thing. He says, instead of verse 13, it makes the believer a new creature. In verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. All we were, all we ever brought forth, we were thorns and briars, and all we ever brought forth were thorns and briars. Thorns and briars are emblems of the curse that came about by the fall. Genesis 3 says this, God said to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles, briars, shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Thorns and briars are symbols of curse. And those things that are cursed, they don't bring forth any life. A thorn and a briar is as useless as it can be. Isn't it? What do you get from a thorn and a briar? Nothing. A thorn and a briar is fruitless. They don't bring forth life. You're not going to go out there and eat it unless you're a goat. A goat loves thorns and briars. But sheep don't. Sheep don't. And you know it's a waste of good ground. Rain can come down, snow can come down, all these elements that will produce fruit in wheat, they bring forth wheat. But it don't bring forth nothing in a thorn and a briar. And this gospel, it don't bring forth any fruit from a man that's just a dead sinner. And it never brings forth anything from our old sin nature. It's all the fruit of God and the new creation. And thorns and briars are hurtful. You ever got hit with a thorn? It hurts. It hurts bad. Just like those thorns that made a crown and were pressed down on our Savior's head. That's a symbol of cursedness and rejection. That's what you see in that thorn, that crown of thorns pressed on his head. They describe all sinners in our flesh. Here's what we brought forth. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Here's the thorns and the briars. Here was our fruit. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, which I tell you, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. No man like this will inherit the kingdom of God. The Holy One, it says, Christ Himself, shall be for a flame. You know what it says He's going to do? It says He shall burn and devour the thorns and the briars in one day. At the end of this world, Christ is going to gather up all people. And He's going to separate the briars and the thorns from the wheat, from His people. And He's going to take the briars and the thorns and He's going to burn them up. He's going to cast them into everlasting fire. But you know what the fir tree and the myrtle tree represents in Scripture? It represents sweet-smelling, fruitful, good trees. That's what it represents. The fir tree and the myrtle tree. Instead of the thorn, it's going to come up a fir tree. And instead of the briar, it's going to come up a myrtle tree. That's a believer. Listen to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that the Spirit brings forth is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who's reconciled us to Himself by the Lord Jesus and given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is what God does. And you know what the last thing is He gives us here? Remember what our last point was Thursday night? What does the Word of God do? What's this newness of life? It creates in us a newness of life to give God all the glory. To give God all the glory. Look at the Isaiah 55:13. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Who's it going to be to? Why is He doing all this? Who's this going to be to? To the Lord. For a name that shall not be cut off. An everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. When you hear religious folks speaking, and you hear them talking about what they did for Jesus, and you hear them talking about how they brought themselves and how they believed on their own and how they've been working and how they've been trying to attain a reward better than another person, and you read all these things that they're doing, that's exactly opposite to what God makes His people to speak. Exactly opposite. His people don't brag on ourselves. His work shall be to the Lord for a name. His people are called by His name. We wear His name. And we glory in His name. And only His name. And it says, and His work will be for an everlasting sign that shall be cut off. You know what every believer is? He's a trophy of God's immutable grace. Immutable means it's unchanging and never ending. It can't be stopped. It can't be changed. It's going to accomplish His purpose. God's going to have a people that's going to give Him all the glory and give Christ all the preeminence, and not a one is going to be lost. It'll be for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Just imagine the foolishness of those men that were standing there that day and beholding Christ, who is the name of the Lord, who is the everlasting sign, who is the one who brings all glory to Christ, to God, by His work and by His work in His people. By His work for His people and in His people. And He is the one that won't be cut off. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And here He is. He's the sign. And He's standing there before these men. And they said, well, we'd believe if You'd give us a sign. Blind as a bat. Blind as a bat. God's people will never be cut off. Now, doesn't that give you assurance? God said this is how it's going to be. Doesn't that give you assurance that His Word will never return to Him void? His Word will accomplish what He purposes with it? What about all the people that don't believe? Paul said, we're a savor unto God in them that believe and in them that perish. Who's sufficient for that? You mean the words you're preaching right now, preachers, is damning some people? That's what it was sent for? That's what it was sent for. But God's Word don't return void. Aren't you thankful? I know we don't understand this. right now because we got children that don't believe and we want to see them believe. We've got loved ones that don't believe, we want to see them believe. But when we're in glory and we're made perfectly righteous and we don't have this old flesh anymore, Scripture says when God cast them into outer judgment, you know what we're going to do? Praise God for His justice and His righteousness. That's right. Praise Him for His justice and His righteousness. And it'll be just and right to do it. I pray God will make you believe Him. I pray He'll bring you to believe Him, to trust Him. Amen. All right, let's stand together, brethren. Father, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, that You're holy, that You're faithful, that You're perfect, upright, and just. We're thankful, Lord, that You will by no means clear the guilty. It means, Lord, that You're faithful. It means that You'll do that which is right. And nothing like that in this earth. Not anything like that among folks in this earth. Lord, we pray, thank You for that You're also merciful. And that both of these can be true in Christ our Redeemer. Because You've sent Him forth to do the work. And He accomplished it. And Lord, we pray now that Christ would come forth and be that witness and that leader and that commander in the hearts of our children, in the hearts of our loved ones, our spouses, in our own hearts. And Lord, that You might bring forth fruit. That You might make us new creatures. That You might continually renew us and keep us and lead us. And bring us to give all the glory and all the praise to You. Forgive us, Lord, when we murmur about the rain and murmur about the snow and murmur about the elements. Make us see Christ's glory in it. Make us thank You and praise You for it. Everything in this creation is praising Your name. Thank You for Your invincible, irresistible Word. Thank You that Christ is that Word. It's in His name we pray. Amen.